What's up, everybody? So we left off at I think talked about my marriage and how all things went down and trying to write a series. And I don't know, there's trying and there's doing. And I always tell my kids, like, you're not trying. You either do or you don't. And so, you know, part of me is, well, are you trying it, Jim? Are you actually trying to write this series, or are you writing the series? It's one or the other.
No. Try not. Do. Or do not. There is no try.
I did start making progress. I will say that. I wrote a whole bunch of stuff, and I started off what I was telling you guys last week about the whole I've given up on everything. We just had two kids. I think a lot of it had to do with just inner struggles that my wife had for a while, and maybe postpartum depression after our second child, which just is not to be underestimated. And you know, I had a big battle with the forces. I pulled over, yelled at God, and then, you know, it wasn't much later. It was less than a week later or so, and some people prayed for her, which was out of the, just out from left field. And then next thing you know, bang, she's heading in that world. And it's a fascinating story. Absolutely fascinating story. Because, by the way, right now I am in Boulder, Colorado. I'm in Boulder, Colorado. It's cool little, first of all, the scenery in Colorado is, it's, if you've never been out here, it's breathtaking. It's stunning. The whole time driving out here, all I want to do is just sit and stare at the scenery. It's breathtaking. And I thought it was going to be a lot colder. It's the end of, it's the middle of September, but I thought it was going to be freezing by now, and it's not. If anything, it's warm. It's hot. During the day, it's been hot and cold. I'm still wearing a t-shirt.
I was thinking the same thing. That John Denver's full of shit, man.
I was in Denver for two nights. Oh, just murdered that place, the Landmark, I believe I was at. Sold out shows, absolutely incredible. Last night I was in Silverthorne, played the Silverthorne Pavilion, very big ski country, a lot of ski people there. Cute venue, it was a cute little venue. I thought I bombed. I didn't think I did well. I didn't think anyone was into me. I think because of the acoustics of that place, the laughter just goes straight up in the air, so you don't really hear people laughing. But then the show was over, and the meet and greet was over an hour. So they had a great time. But I love it out here. I'm in Boulder tonight. I have Rich Aronovich opening for me. He just brought me to a, you know, when he's fixated on something, he doesn't even think. Now, we're walking around downtown Boulder, Colorado. And when I'm on the road, unless it's really authentic and one of these things that's a must try, I'm not going to go to a pizza place in Boulder, Colorado. I'm not going to. I saw there's a Cheesecake Factory here. And I went, okay, safe. That's a good place. He's from New Orleans, and we went to this place called, he saw a place that said, the French Quarter. So he goes in, he goes, I want to look at the menu. He goes, looks at the menu. Then he goes inside, and he wants to talk to the manager. I'm waiting for him. He comes out about 10 minutes later. Yeah, no, this is a good place. Now, my instinct immediately said, this guy's not from New Orleans, in Boulder, Colorado, in the middle College Alley where people playing bongos and it smells like pot oil, and it's just, he's not. So whatever, we go in there. The wait staff sucked. Took forever. It was like she was annoyed we were there. We sit down. Rich asked to taste some type of sauce. I don't know, some sauce with Creole in it, and he waits for 5 minutes. It comes, and then his meal was cold. It was a big fear. Long story short, like, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. I said, let's go to like a let's go to Cheesecake Factory. You can't lose here. Or there's so many other places. You don't want to go to French Quarters in Boulder, Colorado. He does that sometimes. We'll go to a Thai restaurant, and he'll be like, do you have Creole? Here you go. I'll have the Creole. Don't order Creole at La Framida's. I mean, what are you thinking? I'll have the grilled shrimp at Shake Shack. Like, what are you doing? It's burgers and shakes. Don't order shrimp. I do that with my wife all the time. We go on the road or something, and we walk in a very diner atmosphere. You can tell if it's a diner, and it's dressed up a little more of a diner. Don't go off the beaten path. Eggs, toast, English muffin. Don't get all, I want the spinach, Florentine. This is terrible. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. It's a diner.
Kiss my grit!
Burgers, fried food, pancakes, eggs. Don't go out the box. Are you going to show up at a baseball field with a soccer ball? What are you doing? Use your head. Use your head. So that's the only thing once in a while I bring Rich on that, and I normally talk him out of it, and this one was hard to talk him out. I knew it was going to be a disaster, but that's what it was. Now, we're in this old hotel. It reminds me a little bit of The Shining. It's huge. It looks like it's 200-300 years old. This is a big college town. It's a huge college town. You got a mix of like hippie meets like, you know, hipsters. It's some old wealth. It's an interesting little city. I like it. I'm not gonna lie to you, I like all of Colorado. Although I'm not gonna lie to you, the climate definitely affects you. You walk a little too fast, or you go up a flight of stairs, you're sitting down for a minute or two. It takes a little bit to catch your breath. So, I love it out here. There's this, I just can't get enough of the scenery out here.
Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry.
So, I didn't want to do it from my room because it's near a street and it's extremely loud. So I'm actually in the gym at the Boulderado. The hotel is called the Boulderado. Nice, quaint, cool, old hotel. When you take an elevator up, you need, it's the old time elevators where like a bellman has to go in there and turn a key and turn this and then it goes up and you have room for maybe 4 or 5 people tops. So it's kind of this is a cool place. It's a very cool place. So that is, I'm in the gym because it's the quietest place in the entire building. And I think this building takes up the entire city block. So that is where I'm podcasting from as we speak. You know, last week we had Hurricane Irma was pouncing the whole South in Florida. And now, before this storm came, listen, I am a guy that for years and years, have always been anti-news and media. Now, that is just me. I don't trust them one bit. I don't believe anything. As a matter of fact, when they really push hard on a subject or an agenda, or they push extremely hard against somebody, it makes me very suspect. It makes me go, whatever it is threatening their lifestyle, if that makes sense. It's just like the old, like take Bill Cosby. Oh, I stand for this and stand for that. Meanwhile, you date raping people. Anyway, that's just me. I'm not selling you an agenda. I'm just telling you who I am. I do buy conspiracies. I do. I I don't believe everything they say. I can't stand. So this all goes to the hurricane. This hurricane, now, was it devastating in the Caribbean? Yes, but they started with, this is the biggest and the most scariest, horrendous, evil gorilla monsoon hurricanes maybe in history. And I don't know if they were panicking because they just, they'd rather be overcautious than undercautious, which I can respect 100%. But normally when a hurricane comes, it starts in the Caribbean. The Caribbean always gets their ass kicked. When a hurricane's coming, the entire Caribbean has to get on all fours and stick their ass straight up to the moon because it's about to get kicked as hard as it can. It seems like every couple years, you know, Turks and Caicos, parts of Mexico, Bahamas, St. Martin, St. Thomas, they're all like, you go see them and they go, oh yeah, we're still recovering from, 2004 when Hurricane Holy Shit came. And it's, they constantly get their ass kicked. Now, Jersey took an ass whooping a couple years ago and Florida took an ass whooping, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. So they're prepping this thing as you better go to Milwaukee to clear this thing. This thing is the size of Godzilla Part 7. This thing is King Kong vs. Godzilla 2021 box office hit. Hurricane Irma. Wah, 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 wah. Now, my daughter is in her first month of college. And she's down in Florida. And I get the emails that she gets, and sure enough, she has to evacuate. They said, listen, because of what they're saying and what they're tracking, all students must be off campus by, I think they had to be, I don't know, whatever day it was. It was at least 4 or 5 days before the storm hit, but you guys are out of here. So thank God, my wife and I's, one of our best friends, live 45 minutes from where my daughter goes to school. So they came, they picked her up over the house. Now, I trust these, I've known them pretty much my whole life, since I was 18 years old. I know the people that my daughter's in care of. And I trust them dearly, and I love them dearly. And they have a child, they have two kids, so they're not gonna, and they have a family there, they're not gonna put themselves or their own child in jeopardy. Now, storm is now hitting the Caribbean. Sure enough, everyone's on all fours and they got their ass cheeks up in the air and they're getting their ass walloped. Kabang, kabang, St. Martin, goodbye. Turks and Caicos, goodbye. Cuba, goodbye. Everyone's getting their ass kicked. Now it's coming for Florida, and they don't even know. They don't even know. It was like a loose tiger was walking through the streets. Like, where the tiger? He may make a right turn and go up Fifth Avenue. This tiger may head for the suburbans. Either way, it's coming your way. We have no clue at the end of the day. And then this is what the news does. They start getting professionals, so-called professionals, and stats, and they start saying, this is the projected territory of where Irma should be heading. She's going to slam into Miami and then go up on the East Coast and just mutilate West Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale. And if you're anywhere on the East Coast, you're going to get a whooping. I hope you didn't just buy a second home. Did you just retire? Is your whole life savings? You retired from the Northeast and now you obeyed the law and you retired to Florida and you're out there every day with your metal detector and your big black glasses and you don't even have underpants on because it's too much of a struggle, so you're wearing shorts and you're just going commando and the wind is whistling through your through your little 75, 80-year-old retired ass cheeks. Is that where your life is at? You can't wait for freaking the early bird special at the corner cafe and catch a little Judge Judy and call it a night. That's it, and watch the news and get angry and talk about how much politics and this and that. Is that who it is? Well, guess what? We're gonna disrupt your life because Irma's coming. Irma's gonna slap those sunglasses off your face. She's gonna stomp on them. Then she's gonna pull your pants down and unplug your television. What do you think about that? East Coast, Florida, stick that in your snap box and see what happens. I mean, it's almost comical when you don't watch the news for a month or two and then you start watching it. It's comical how it just completely manipulates your thought process. And people are like, oh, that's not true. Well, yeah, no, it is. So, but at the end of the day, they don't have a clue of where it's going. They don't even know. So now it finally, it's kind of hitting Miami, but not really. Now, Miami did take a whooping because the water rose. The seas were high and the water came up. And so, you know, parts of Miami, the water flooded. Now, I don't know if it was like Houston. I think Houston was a lot worse. And parts of Texas were a lot worse. But I don't know that for a fact. So, with that said, now they're like, you know, this is a state of emergency. And there's nothing you can do. And all this jazz. And so, you know, now you're just sitting there and you're just waiting for this whole thing to go down. I had to walk outside the gym. Some guys just came in the gym. It's a little awkward. I'm going to look for a spot. So now, here's a nice little seat. So now, they're like, oh, wait a minute. It might head for the west coast of Florida. You know, if you're in Naples, you're going to get wild. It's going to hit there. It's going to hit the Florida Keys. That's another thing. The Florida Keys, they're just barely above water as it is. They're sandbars with hotels and bars on them. So the Keys definitely took a whooping. But they're practically underwater as it is already. So any big storm is going to kick their ass right off the bat anyway. So it's hitting there, and then they're like, you know, it's come for the West Coast. But now, we would constantly check in with our neighbors. And not our neighbors, or the people watching my daughter. And the people watching my daughter would constantly reassure, like, listen, stop watching the news. Stop watching the Weather Channel. They're acting as if it's the end of the world. We're fine. We know our area. We know what it's like when big storms come our way. We're fine. I said, yeah, but... And my wife and I both were fine until everybody else starts texting. I'm going to say I had about 40 text messages. Get her out of there. Oh my God, is Gabrielle okay? Are your friends have to get out of this? It was nonstop. And I don't hold anything against them. They're worried and they're looking out for you. But this is the massive brain madness that the media just gets you going on. I'll give you a classic example. And I don't know if I said it last week. I just visited someone out here in Colorado. And I'm talking to one of the kids, and one of the kids in the Colorado schools they're actually in California. They said they're California friends. One of the kids is 13 years old. 13 years old and wants to change their gender. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? You know what? I want to be black. I want to be black. I want to be black, and I want to be a millionaire, and I want to be a part... I want to be a horse. I want to be a horse. Can I start taking pills to make me a horse? What is going on with humanity? Oh, it's your right. It's your right to shit. You're born what you are. You're not... It's your mind that's getting... 13 years old, you don't even know what you are or where you're going yet. And the parents are pumping this child with hormones. And I'll tell you what, I'm not a doctor, but when you start messing with hormones, you are a big suspect for getting cancer. That is a big... I'm not a doctor. So don't be like, he told me. Like, what? Are you crazy? Yeah, I want to be a black horse. I want to change my humanity. I don't want to be human. I want to be a horse. Are you kidding me? And again, this whole gender thing. Did anyone ever talk about this? No. Nobody did. Was this an issue? No, it was not. It never was. Was this a forefront in anything? Never, ever was it. There's people in my town. There's a guy in town dresses like a woman. Every once in a while he comes in a coffee shop. You look and you go, is that a guy? That's a guy. But I don't sit there and... that's it. That's as far as that goes. This guy feels comfortable dressing like a woman or whatever. That's his head. That's his emotions. I can't judge that. I'm not touching that. There's other people. I remember I was in Shreveport, Louisiana. And it was after a show, and it was me and my friend Jimmy Shaka and Larry. And we're in there, and there was a kid in there. I don't know, we were all partying. We still partied back then. And there was a young guy in the room amongst this group, and he was screaming for attention. He was very loud, very over the top, and he wanted everyone to know how flamboyant he was. All right, so I got he was gay, and whatever, that's wonderful. That's what you are, got it. But he was over the top with the flamboyant speaking. And then he was really aggravating me. Really aggravating me. I was like, oh my God, all right, just stop already. It's sort of like a, whatever, a meathead that's like, yeah, I like chicks. And we're like, all right, we get it. He was the opposite. So when we started talking, I talked to this kid for over an hour, and I just started seeing how he got to where he was. And I'm being dead honest with you. By the end of the conversation, he was talking normal the way we are. The way I'm talking right now is exactly the way. No, this and that. And I'm like, it's like, it was none of that. None of that. So this whole gender thing, you know, to be debated is absurd. It's absurd. It never was an issue until politics and media made it. And if you don't think brainwashing exists, that's a classic example of it. There was never a conversation, ever. I don't believe you. You could, oh, this is blue. No, I don't, but you're just, no way. I'm not buying it. Absolutely not.
No way.
If someone came in a bathroom and they were clearly, whatever, trans or used to be a woman and now it's a guy, no one cares. You're in there to go to the bathroom and then you get out. No one, there's no debate when it's over. There's no, it baffles my mind that people don't realize the power of mind control. Welcome to the UnX mind control by media. It baffles me. So, but at the end of the day, they don't have a clue of where it's going. They don't even know. So long story short, now everyone's getting hopped up because my daughter's in Florida and people are like, you gotta get her out of there, it's the worst storm. And so it's a day before now the storm is supposed to murder Tampa Bay. Now, granted, it also went from a Category 5 to now it's a Category 2, because once it hits land, it diminishes. It slows down. It starts slowing down. It's still dangerous. It's still a serious storm. There's still serious wind gusts. But, you know, they're making it so this is the biggest, nastiest, most horrific. You know, build a 40-foot ditch and stay in there with metal cover and bring oxygen tanks so you can breathe. Oh my God. Maybe they were freaked out because of Houston. I don't know. So there comes a part where, and again, I would call my friends, like, is everything right? They're like, will you please stop watching the news? I said, I'm not. I'm getting all these texts, and now I'm feeling like they're making me doubt myself. I felt very confident, but everyone else is starting to make me doubt myself. So, now my daughter too, she was in a relationship with a boy. He's going to South Jersey. And now this kid is driving from South Jersey to Florida to go get her. And the kid doesn't tell his parents. So now this is thrown on my lap the day before. And, you know, now my friends call up like, hey, you know what? We got your daughter and this is pissing us off. We got some 19-year-old kid. He's got to drive 19, 20 hours. He's going to drive through the night, come here, get here by 10, 11 a.m. The storm is supposed to be in full effect by 2 p.m. And everyone's trying to get out of flight. Like, you don't know what it's going to be like. What are you? This is, you're now, we don't want to be responsible for this. Oh, I got to call this kid. Dude, you got to turn around. I'm already in North Carolina. That's not my problem, dummy. It's not my problem, dummy. Turn around. Stop watching. Do your parents know? No. Yeah, why don't you tell your parents you're driving 18 hours one way, pick up a 18-year-old girl, and then turn around and start heading back? Like, what? Are you nuts? Do teenagers, are they, don't underestimate the horniness of teenagers. This kid was willing to drive 19 hours straight. I don't know what the hell my daughter's got going on there, but this kid was driving 19 hours to pick her up in the storm, in the big bad Irma hurricane, turn around and head back. That's beyond madness.
Madness.
Truckers do that, but they're also on about 10 bottles of speed and any other drug that keeps them up. It's just madness. Absolute madness.
Madness.
Well, he's freaking out. Are you freaking out, I'd ask her? No. Then why are you allowing this kid to come down?
I don't know.
No, I think you do know. I think you do know.
I don't know.
You want to hump your brains up. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom.
I don't know if it's horniness. Listen, I've been horny on the road. There's times I go on the road. You get a little, it's hard not to get a little horny. I've never been that horny where I'm willing to drive 20 straight hours, though, into a hurricane. I'll tell you that. Now that's horny. Like, you're driving all night and your little donkey is whistling all night. Stay on course. Stay on course. We're gonna dunk it and hee-haw all the way down there. Unbelievable. That's just... Whew. So this has been... I'm glad that whole hurricane thing's over. My daughter starts school again soon. She's loving being in school. And life is moving on. I tell you, it's I'm starting to see more gray hairs. It's a little weird. I kind of took pride that I had absolutely no gray hair. I'm not gonna lie to you, I enjoy seeing younger people with gray hair. My friend Phil was gray by the time he was in his young 20s. Like, oh my God, what are you? You just wake up grinding your teeth? How are you gray? I think that's it's a Italian thing. It's like a Mediterranean thing. I think they get grayer quicker. Maybe Jewish people too, because they're darker hair. I think anything with darker hair, they get grayer quicker. I could be wrong, but the people thought I colored my hair. Like, I don't color my hair. I've never colored my hair in my life. Did people try to get me to color my hair? Especially like the SNL days and all that, and just past there, people like, oh, you should. Women would be like, you should color your hair, put highlights in your hair, you'd look amazing. I don't know. My wife has gray. When she went through the chemo and her hair started growing back in, she had like silver hair. I gotta be honest with you, she was stunning. I love it. But I just like anything authentic. I love when people are natural. I love it, because to me there's a confidence there. There's a natural beauty. I'm very attracted to natural beauty and confidence. But whatever, she colors her hair. And she looks real good. I'll say that, my wife looks amazing. She got a hot little body. She looks good. This might be one of the best she's ever looked in her whole life. I mean, it could be. She was always sexy. My wife was always sexy. But I'm glad all that's over with. I just, and now, you know, I don't get caught up with anything going on. I have no clue what's going on in North Korea. What's going on? Anyone else, politics, hate Trump, like Trump, like, oh, it's so exhausting. But I'm excited about this script. I think I'll be finished with the first draft. Now, I keep reading it and rewriting and writing and rewriting, but I think I'm going to be finished with the first draft by the end of this Colorado tour, which will end Saturday night. So by the end of Saturday night, I think I will have the first 45 pages done, which is about, that's a 45-minute show, so I have to cut and edit, and I also write like I'm a director, because in my head, I see the scenes and how they're shot and all that jazz, so I'm getting pretty hopped up. I was a little depressed trying to figure this out. And it was really frustrating, but now I think I have a really good formula that I found. I'm kind of adding, it's very true to life too. It's extremely true to life. Like while I was writing this, I'm actually going through a lot of emotions. And it brings back a lot of memories. So some of the memories are really good, but some of the memories are not good, and I have to walk away from rehashing some of these things, and I get angry, get frustrated. I go to breakfast and I'm all angry. It's because of times I remembered, you know, 15 years ago, or frustrated. I'm like, oh God, I gotta shake out of this. I went through that with my book. When I wrote my book, I would emotionally go through everything I was writing, because it was pretty much a memoir. For those of you who don't know, the book is called I'm Not High, But I have a lot of stories about being a goat, SNL, and a spiritual warrior.
By the way, if you've never seen me before, this is the way I look. I'm not high.
It's not a thing. I was a mistake. I'm glad I got a deal. I got great money for doing that book. But I really wanted to name it Leather Pants and Kangaroo and have an amazing cover, and it would have done so much better in the. It sells out all the time on tour. I can't keep up with books. I have to reorder at least 300-400 books every freaking couple months. I mean, they fly out the door. They fly out. People love the book, but you know, the record stores didn't, I mean, the record stores, bookstores didn't sell well. And that's another whole game. You gotta go to venues and hire the local bookstore, and then the bookstore comes, and then they sell, and they say you serve, and then that's how you get in the best seller list. That's exhausting. I don't wanna do that. I'm too lazy for that. Or I just sell my venues. I sell them or give them away, and that's the way it goes. But I think this episode's going to be pretty cool. Now, here's my dilemma. When the episode's done, I want to get a bunch of neighbors, a bunch of friends, sit down and read the script. I'm going to record it. Definitely for my own purposes, I want to record it. To see how it moves, to see how much needs to be cut. Help the writing better and all that jazz, see where it needs help. But I really think this is the coolest idea to put on the podcast. I think that would be so amazing if you were sitting there listening, and while you're listening going, oh my God, I listened to him talk about writing this script, and then he started, and the process while he was writing it. And then he said he had a read-through and the notes, and now he's more excited, now he's not excited, blah, blah, blah. And now he's actually going to put the read-through on the air. And I don't know, there's a part of me that think that's the coolest thing in the world. When I had all these other ideas for this other podcast where I wanted to get writers involved, like you. You actually write the script up, and if it goes, then, you know, you're the writer. You're the freaking writer. But, I don't know, everyone's like, oh, that's really complicated, and there's lawsuits, and all my ideas are shot down through business. Oh, there's lawsuits, and people sue you. Blah, blah, blah. To me, I just love making people creative. I think everyone is so capable of having something creative. I'm not talking just art, I know, Melissa, I know you're listening. You have that one woman show. You have a script waiting to be done. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know why. It's don't even think about big time stuff. That's what I tell people too. If you have an idea in your head and you're like, but don't think about how you're going to sell it. Don't think about how it's going to go. Don't think about like who you're going to cast in it and how much money. Just put it together for yourself, because then the passion will come out, and then it'll be done the way you want it to be done, and then from there, take the next step, and then from there, see what happens. When I wrote my book, I wrote out of passion. I still have it in my basement. It's all on notebook sheets. I didn't type it in a computer. I would go in my hotel room, and I would write it in a notebook, and then I would hand it to my sister, who was working with me at the time, and she would type it all up, and it was so funny to see her. She'd come out of the office crying hysterically. I didn't know you went through that. I did not remember it, but I forgot about it. And then she'd come out like, oh God, I can't stand so-and-so. He was such a bastard. And then and that's when I knew, like, wow. At first, I was just going to make it a blog to put on my website. This would be great for people to read every day, but I thought, wow, maybe I should make this a book.
Tracy Morgan says, quote, he is like the white version of me.
Yeah, I guess.
Slow down, Tracy.
I don't go into Ben and Jerry's asking people you're going to get pregnant.
But you know what? All the laughs aside,
yeah.
quote unquote, and I don't know if this was a self-discovery, there's a lot more to you than that, which you really put in the book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a whole hidden, deeper side, just like anyone that you can relate to. Yeah.
But is that a juxtaposition? Because people, I don't know, you tell me, 90% of the people just want to laugh and have a good time.
Yes, no, but they do want to laugh and a good time. It's almost hanging out in your backyard or with your best friends and family. Yes, you want to laugh, but you also have that moment like, can I ask you something?
Right.
My wife or this one passed away and I don't know how to get through it. And you get through it and then 2 minutes later you're like, let's get back into giggles. So, you know.
Well, it's Giggles and More. The book is called I'm Not High, but I've got lots of crazy stories about life as a goat boy, a dad, and a spiritual warrior. Jim Brewer with an excellent
One more goat boy. Wait,
you know what? I got
Get him to read the tease.
Pablo says it'll full weather. Get Goat Boy to do the weather.
Oh, yeah. Can you do the weather with me?
Can you do the weather with this handsome man? I know we won't pay you for it.
Well, I can tell you right now, it's going to be foggy out. So be very careful,